This morning we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, so please open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As you do that, I thought of a couple different sections of Scripture that would prepare us for this, for 1 Corinthians 7. And as you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We ask that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, that you would, Lord, cause your people to have ears to hear, but also hearts that are willing to obey. Lord, that we may not choose to go against your will, Lord, but that we may be a humble people who, as we receive your word, apply it to our lives and bring you glory. And I pray that if anyone's here, Lord, that has not surrendered themselves, their very lives, to your Son, Jesus Christ, that this morning would be the day of salvation. That, Lord, you would speak to them and that they would not reject you, but that they would receive you, knowing that you have the hope of eternal life. And as you said, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so I pray, Lord, that is spoken to the individuals who have not surrendered their lives, that they be delayed no longer. Just that gift that you are ready to give. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Speak to us, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15. I know you're in 1 Corinthians 7. But John chapter 15 says, I am the true vine, Jesus speaking, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The whole point of that is just abiding, remaining in the Lord. Because apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. We have nothing in and of ourselves that can produce anything worthwhile. We need to abide in the Lord. And then in Philippians chapter 4, you don't need to turn there. But in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the thing is if we're satisfied with the Lord, if we trust him and understand that his promises are promises that he is faithful to complete, to fulfill in our lives, then we shouldn't be anxious for anything. Sometimes we get to the point in our lives, and it just happens on a regular basis, to where we ask questions of the Lord, which we know the answers to. We ask, gosh, if I know that there's liberty in the Lord, and we can exercise that, right? And not lose our salvation. Well, why are you asking that question to begin with? Many times we ask questions that we already know the answers to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I know that we're going to go over, listen, and this is for everyone. This is for the married. This is for the single. This is for those who are engaged. This is for the widowed. And so does that cover just about everyone? Yeah, that covers everyone in this room. And I understand that the Lord answers the question that is posed to the Apostle Paul here in verse 1. But there's much more that lies within this chapter. And that's why, again, I titled it Remain. This whole series is titled Sold Out. Remember, our desire is to see God grow people into passionate disciples of Jesus Christ. But we are to be a sold out community of believers. That our whole focus is Jesus Christ and him alone. The Apostle Paul said, for I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. not get entangled with the affairs of the world, to be sold out for the Lord and Him alone, to remain in Him. And so let's start in verse 1 of chapter 7. It says here, "Now concerning the things of which He wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." That's what they wrote. "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." Just a couple of things there. This was a letter that was written to the Apostle Paul, asking him, basically, is it good, is it better not to touch a woman? And this is speaking of touching her intimately. But he says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." There's obvious repercussions to adultery, sexual immorality of any kind. If we go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11, we know that Bathsheba, as she bathed on top of her home, that King David looked across and saw Bathsheba as she was bathing. And that led to one thing and another, to the point to where he committed adultery. And in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, Nathan came to David and just gave him a little story about how it was that one man had one sheep, the other had many, but the one with many took the one away from the man that just had one. And King David says, "That man should be put to death." Nathan says, "That man is you." And there were consequences to what had taken place. Now, if it's difficult within the context of marriage to remain faithful, okay, because of lust. Today you have media, you have TV, you have movies, you have radio, you have text, you have just the web on the go. And I remember one time with Reuben, our son Reuben, that we were doing some research on the White House, right? And so I jotted down the White House on the internet. Well, something that was not the White House came up on the screen. And it was one pop-up after another. It was like, you remember that? That was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't click the little red X's up on the right-hand side fast enough. And they just kept coming. Listen, we are bombarded with things like that. I mean, even cartoons, Adult Swim, just pollutes the mind. It affects the soul of each and every person who sits there and watches that stuff. Songs, you don't think they affect you? They absolutely affect you. They impact you. Subtle, but yet in the end, drags you down. We need to be careful. And so the Apostle Paul says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." Just one. Just one. But this is a positive command that the Apostle Paul gave. In the violation of that command, write this down, Exodus chapter 20. See how many of the Ten Commandments are violated by just that one act of adultery, of sexual immorality. So that's your homework. But we'll go on. Verse 3 says, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." In Exodus 21, verse 10, also says, "He shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights." It's very important to understand that the affection due to the wife, just like the affection due to the husband, is one in which we need to nurture. One which we need to work at. It's not something that happens automatically. In fact, quite the opposite happens. We seem to not communicate. We can slowly deteriorate that relationship. Try not communicating with the Lord. After a while, you feel like there's nothing there, right? But the affection due to her is providing for your wife, men. For women, you are to respect. You're to respect your husbands. Okay, the one thing that we as men, I think I know, we as men, if asked, what we would appreciate the most is what? You hear it all the time, right? Respect. And just respect me, woman. And ladies, you'd love to be shown love, affection. Well, we should not deny each other of those things. But that is our responsibility. Verse 4 says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. I went over this with the guys a few weeks ago, and they loved that portion right there. But the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. Okay. First of all, verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Okay, the authority. Who is it that has this authority? Whom does your body belong to? Now think back, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Whose is it? Just go ahead and shout it out. The Lord's, right? Authority may be given over to your husband, your wife, as far as intimate relationship relations is concerned. But listen, who does your body belong to? It belongs to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. I'm going to go to verse 19. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so, the consent that we are to look for is not necessarily first in your wife or your husband. Remember, for fasting and prayer only. But it's to the Lord. You should come to the Lord and ask Him, is this the time, Lord, in which I should be given over without distraction, without any other kind of activity other than coming to you in prayer and fasting? Is this the time? And as you seek the Lord, He gives you the time. Whether it be a day, whether it be a couple days, a few days. But first you seek the consent of the Lord. And then you can come to your wife, you can come to your husband, and say, you know what, the Lord has really laid something on my heart. I'm gonna be given over to prayer and fasting. I can tell you, if you do that, your wife will appreciate that, guys, and vice versa. Now, you communicate that, but that's the only time that you are to abstain from intimate relationships within your marriage. That is the only time. Because here's the thing, is that temptation comes in so many different forms. And when we get married, as it says in Genesis chapter 2, when we come together, that intimacy, sex, is something that is shameless within the context of marriage. And if we deprive each other of that, then we are leaving ourselves open to the attacks of the enemy, and we could fall into sin. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and you don't need to turn there. But James chapter 1 says this. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not deprive each other of sex within the marriage. You need to come together often. Is that okay? That's what the Bible says. Is that all right? You okay?
Yeah.
We went to church today? Pastor said not to. In fact, I won't tell you who. But again, we were going over first our Ephesians 5:25, husbands love your wives, a few weeks ago. And one of the books that I refer to is titled Sex Starts in the Kitchen. Right? I see some ladies are going. And so someone had said, yeah, I'm going to go home and tell my wife that sex starts in the kitchen. And that ought to be fun. Now, hopefully there's no kids in here. You know? Okay. Well, you're learning something early here. But you know what? Hey, listen. Sex within the context of marriage is beautiful. That's the Lord's doing. You know, that's what he ordained within the marriage. And so kids need to know that. They need to understand that. That it sex can be perverted, and it is perverted. And it can take on a whole different meaning as if kids don't know the true meaning and the truth about intimacy. So let's move on, though. Verse 7. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. So the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, listen, it's a gift. If you are able to remain single and you can restrain yourself from thoughts, lustful thoughts, and you can focus on the Lord, that's a gift. Celibacy is an absolute gift. Marriage, on the other hand, he's saying marriage is also a gift, though. And so you need to honor that. He's saying not one or the other is a sin. But if you can remain single, he says, remain even as I am. And you'll hear remain throughout this chapter. Verse 9. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. For those who are not gifted with celibacy, you know exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. You know, there's thoughts that cross your mind. We're all human. We can sit here and think that we're holier than thou, and you know, and no, I'm completely pure and holy. I don't have any thoughts. Listen, you should capture those thoughts and give them over to the Lord and filter everything through His Word. At the same time, understand that because you lack self-control, it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Thoughts of lust can consume your mind to the point to where it deems you ineffective for the Lord. And so there comes a point when the Lord asks the Lord, Lord, bring someone into my life, single people. Bring someone into my life if that's what's consuming your thoughts. Because I do not want to be consumed with anything other than you. So can we be consumed? Absolutely. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sexual immorality. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 28, that if you look at another with lust, you have committed adultery in your heart. So it's serious. That's why the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, listen, if you are so enveloped with the thoughts that of the opposite sex, then hey, it's better if you are given over to marriage than for you to continue in that manner. Because at some point, you continue to entertain those thoughts, you're going to fall into sin, sexual immorality. So, he gives us that word. Verse 10 says, now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And the husband is not to divorce his wife. We're going to see in verse 12, this is one of those difficult sayings of the Lord, of Scripture. In verse 10, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. In verse 12, but to the rest, I, not the Lord. I'm going to explain what that means there. But verses 10 and 11 are talking to the wife not to depart from her husband and the husband not to depart from her wife. When is divorce okay within a Christian relationship? There's two instances. We're going to take a look at one here, right? But what's the other one? Adultery? Yeah, adultery. There are only two occasions. But even then, even when adultery happens within a relationship, is that just a time to give up on the relationship? Or if the other person is willing to reconcile and repent from that sin, would the Lord not rather you be reconciled to that person? Is it A or is it B? It's B, right? He'd rather see reconciliation, because I can tell you that the impossible is possible with the Lord. And he can restore what the locusts have eaten. And it's amazing how that takes place. I've seen relationships come together like never before. It may take years, but they can. But if she or he departs, the command here, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Questions come all the time. Well, we're divorced. Can I remarry? Well, has he committed adultery? Not that I know of, but there is that one lady that he talks to all the time, and I'm pretty sure that they've had relations. The word is very clear. If it was an unbiblical divorce, then you're not at liberty to marry someone else. That's the word of God. What can you say to that, right? That's what I'm saying. Remain. The title of this message is Remain. Remain steady, focused, abiding in Christ. If you're asking questions, more than likely you already know the answers. You're just looking for justification to do what you want to do. Okay? So, kids, let's not go there, right? Let's not try and justify. And I'm included in that, kids. Right? That's the Lord speaking to us. Verse 12. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. I had referred to I, not the Lord. Okay, Matthew 5:31-32, the Lord deals with the issue of divorce. So the command that is given in both verses 10 and 11 is a direct command from the Lord. That has been addressed by the Lord. Okay? In verse 12, you can take Scripture And understand that you are not to violate your body. Why? Because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 19, or verse 19 and 20. Right? It's not our own. We are to be good stewards of this body. Right? So, no, does it say mutilate, harm, look, all kinds of ways in which we can harm our body? Does it say it directly? Does it say it explicitly in the Word of God? Some of the things that people do to their bodies nowadays? No. But I think, and the Apostle Paul says there, by his authority, this is the authoritative, inspired Word of God. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, this is what's going in as Scripture. The Apostle Paul says, listen, by what I have studied, but by what I have learned, as God has revealed to me, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. What is it? As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That includes your husband or wife. That's why, as we go back to the first verse where the question was, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. The Corinthians were looking for a way out. Okay, I've come to know the Lord. My husband or my wife is still not a believer, but now I am. We're unequally yoked, so can I divorce him now? No. No, you cannot. If they're willing to stay with you, then you need to stay in the marriage. And then the Apostle Paul goes on. Verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? The word sanctified and the word at the end of verse 14, are holy, is the same in the original language. And so you see that as an unbelieving husband, as an unbelieving wife, you are more apt to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if that person, the believer, remains in that marriage. What happens in a divorce when the two parents separate? You have one believer, one who's an unbeliever. Where do the children spend their time? Half and half, right? They split their time. Or maybe whatever, 75, 25, whatever it is, their time is split. But if they're in the same household, they get exposed to Scripture. They get exposed to maybe some godly friends, they get exposed to coming to church on a regular basis, they are more inclined at some point to come to the Lord than if you separate and go your own way. But yet, listen to this. It's pointed out here also. If the unbelieving spouse no longer wants to be in that relationship, then let them go. You are not obligated to reconcile with that unbelieving spouse. So at that point, if that takes place, the Lord doesn't want to hold you with just this overwhelming burden of reconciling with that person. He also doesn't want to overwhelm you with the burden of thinking that you're doing wrong if that's terminated, that you go and you do remarry with a believing person. That's the condition that we'll see in verse 40. It's got to be in the Lord. Verse 17, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave, do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Verse 23, you were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Within these verses is something that is key to this chapter. And that is verse 19. That keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Underline it, circle it, put an asterisk next to it. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? So, that's what matters. Keeping his commandments is a demonstration of our love for the Lord. And so if we know the answer to the question, then we need to live and abide in that truth. Here's the other thing, is so many times we are quick to try and get out of whatever we're in. The Corinthians did. Yeah, I married an unbeliever, can I get out of it? No. Yeah, I came to the Lord while I worked at San Manuel and Yuen Bingo Casino. Can I leave? Right? I gave that illustration because that was me. And I remember at some point, I thought, Lord, you're convicting me, right? I'm here in this place, a gambling house, a gaming place of business, and I see these people. And listen, from experience, I was there for 10 years. Gaming can turn into an addiction really quick, and I've seen people destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. Relationships destroyed. Houses lost. Cars lost. And Lord, I was a part of that? Yeah. And he says, remain as you are. Seriously? I need to stay here? Yes. Stay right where you are. And I remember asking the Lord. I had been there for, I think it was about 6 or 7 years. And I prayed and I asked the Lord, to remove me from that place. He said, no, remain right where you are. I said, okay, well, if you're going to keep me here, Lord, then I'm asking that you turn this into opportunities for ministry. And I had this office. And I can tell you from the next day on, until I did leave, it was an opportunity for ministry. I had people coming into my office and asking for prayer. Well, you know the word of God. I'm in this situation. What do you think? Like, I don't know what I think, but I can tell you what God thinks, you know? And it was opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to minister to people. And when I left, I wasn't given your usual, a bottle of whatever on your way out. It was, and I got a devotional. I got this little plaque from Rian, things like that. And this is all a testimony of God doing a work in that place. Listen, God has a purpose and a plan for wherever you are. Remain where you are. Don't try and get out of it. God has a plan for you wherever you are. He wants to bless others. He also wants to refine his kids, his children. Sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations, but remain right there. He's not done with you. Verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loose. Are you loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. That's very comforting. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. That's just straight talk from Paul. Do you have trouble in your marriage? Or is anyone's marriage perfect? I want to know, because it's okay. If anyone has counseling, any questions on marriage, go see Keith and Amy. They've got it figured out. Can you please stand up? This is in regards to, again, single people. This is a judgment. We can make judgment calls according to the Word of God that's full of His wisdom. Right, so the Apostle Paul here is saying, listen, it's good. Because of what's going on at that time, understanding that we are living in the last days, and there's much going on. It was thought that maybe there was a famine that was taking place in Corinth. So rather than, there's kind of a famine going on now, economic times, things are difficult. So he was saying, it's better if you just, hey, listen, focus on your relationship with the Lord. Don't get tied up with anyone else. Remain unmarried. Yet, listen, if you do marry, you haven't sinned, though. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I will spare you. Verse 29, we all know we don't need to go into the troubles, right? Because there's always situations within a marriage that need to be taken care of. So this is what the Apostle Paul says. I want to spare you being distracted by that. I want you to focus on the Lord. He said, but listen, you'll be there, and it'll be explained a little bit later here. Verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. What I thought was interesting was that we were to live within the marriage context, the context of marriage, as if we weren't married. Well, that's kind of odd, isn't it? What is the Apostle Paul getting at? What is his point in saying that we are to live as if we're not married, even though we are married? What's the point, Paul? Well, the point is that we should still, within the marriage, remain focused on the Lord. We need to be mindful, as husband and wife, what distracts the other. And you know what that is? In your own marriage? Guys, don't distract your wife with the things that you can be consumed with. We can be very selfish, can't we, men? That could be a distraction to your wife. Why? Because you're not demonstrating love to her. You're demonstrating your affection for golf or your hobby, whatever it is. Just enter in the blank, whatever it could be. Ladies, you like to talk, right? But not just to your husbands, you like to talk to each other. And sometimes there's things that distract him from focusing on the Lord. And I pray for discernment for you and for the men, okay? Listen, there's some things that you could ask for discernment, spare your husband about. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to be careful here, right? I'm going to get a... Because we can fill, the husbands can be filled with so much that it's a distraction to their relationship with the Lord. It's all tied up with things that that kind of take us in a different direction. And then we lose focus on whom we need to remain focused on, and that's the Lord. We can do that to each other. I'm sure there's many different examples that I can throw out there that would take us off course. That makes sense? Without going too deep into that. Okay. Verse 32. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, but she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. We pretty much went over this as far as who you will be dividing your time with in marriage. Because you're concerned with taking care of your wife, men. Ladies, you're concerned with taking care of your men, your husband. And so, again, going back to, is it more profitable to be single or to be married? Well, listen, Paul dignifies marriage. Don't misunderstand this section of Scripture. Look at Ephesians 5. Okay, he dignifies marriage. You can look at Hebrews chapter 13 and see what the Apostle Paul says about marriage. But he's trying to help us understand. Single people, listen up. Because you can get so tied up in finding the opposite. You're whole, the one who makes you complete, that you're missing the one who wants to complete you. And because at the time and the point that we are married, our time is now divided, and we are to bless our wives and spend time with them and nurture them. And ladies, we are to spend time with our husbands and nurturing them and taking care of them as well. So our time is divided. So the Apostle Paul is speaking to us. Verse 36, but if any man thinks he is behaving improperly towards his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. This is for those who are engaged and who are just prolonging and going on and on without getting married. If it's to the point to where the Lord is convicting you, okay, listen, you know, she expects you to get married. It's been 15 years, you know, of being engaged. It's time to get married. That you get married. Verse 37, nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. They remain engaged. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. We already went over why, right? Very clear. Verse 39. A wife is bound by law as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So we've covered married, widows, engaged. We've covered everyone. Now this applies, everything else applies to widows as well, right? We are to be equally yoked. Husband dies, wife dies. Can we remarry? Yes. The Apostle Paul is saying, but is it better to remain single even at that time? Yeah, serve the Lord in his house. But if you're going to remarry, remarry in the Lord. Remarry someone who is a believer, that you may be equally yoked, not unequally yoked. Verse 40, but she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. I could ask Robbie and Grace to come up. This chapter, as I saw it, covered from one question covered everything that had to do with earthly relationships within a marriage. Just from one sentence, one little sentence that was written to the Apostle Paul, was it only to deal with marriage? Was it only to deal with single people? Was it only to deal with those who are engaged and those who are widowed? No. Those are all questions that we already know the answers to. If you've been in the Word for any period of time, you already knew these things, right? If you've been in the Word for any period of time, you know the answers to many questions that you have. The key is found in verse 19, that keeping the commandments of God is what matters. In marriage, there is a shameless oneness in the intimacy that is ordained by the Lord. Do not deprive one another of that. If you're single, don't make your whole aim to find a woman. Do not have it be your whole aim to find a man if you're one or the other. I mean, that shouldn't be your focus. I can tell you that God has someone for you, single people. God has someone lined up for you if you're going to get married. She is waiting for you. He is waiting for you. And at the proper time, that'll all come together. But for some, your gift is celibacy. It's to remain unmarried, single, wholly devoted, without distraction, to serving the Lord. And I pray that whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're widowed, or whether you are engaged, that the bottom line is all of us remain focused on the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's my encouragement for you this morning. That you don't get tied up in the affairs of this world. And that you try your hardest to not entangle one another in affairs other than that which pleases the Lord. Whatever that is, I would hope that you two come together, and maybe there are things that are a distraction in your relationship. You can come together and communicate what those are to each other and do away with them and wholly focus on the Lord and bring Him glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You speak to us plainly. Lord, that just as the Apostle Paul, Lord, from Your Word, could pass judgment on specific areas of marriage, Lord, I pray that You give us that same wisdom and discernment in dealing with issues on an everyday basis. Lord, Your Word also tells us to not be unequally yoked. Lord, as Your children, we have the hope of eternal life, of forever being with You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, but there are some who have not placed their trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I just pray that if anyone is in this room that has not placed their trust in You, that this morning would be the day in which they cry out to You, that they repent of their sin, that they come to You, Jesus Christ, and receive You as Lord and Savior. So, Father, we ask that You would continue to do a work through this ministry, that You would receive glory, and that we would demonstrate our love for you by obeying your commandments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.